it was distorted in a very strange way. Like, it was just slightly too slow, and it was just haunting as hell.
It was so
beautiful. It was just this weird song.
That's cool, man.
And I was like, man, I want one of those.
Did you see the Q-Bert pinball machine he picked
up? Yes.
That was pretty badass, too.
So I guess that's just one of his hobbies. Yep. It's just like rebuilding.
Oh, electronics and stuff. Yeah. Me and him talked about it a little bit because he has a few things he wants me to see if I could work on for him, to see if I could figure out what's wrong with him. So.
Yeah, we need to get him on the show again and talk about...
He lives somewhere around here. He's not far from
it. Life, the universe, and everything.
Yeah, he's a good dude, man. He's seen a good bit, too, so...
Awesome.
God, I've watched a few of the other movies that he's been in. His parts are hilarious, dude, when he's in them. There's one where he plays a senator that's picking up a prostitute that's into dressing up like a baby in a diaper and having the woman burp him and bottle feed him. It's the funniest thing to see Joe play.
All right, everybody, welcome to episode 61 of Scary Dad Podcast. It is December 11th, so you've only got about 2 weeks until Christmas time. So hopefully you got your letter to Santa in. Scott and I are going over our letters before we lick the envelope and stamp them and send them on in. We're going to send Santa some pretty tall orders. But, hey, it's Christmas time. We're having... It's one of those things where we sat down, we're like, okay, what kind of show do we want to do? We're like, well, we could talk about movies that are coming out, and we could talk about current events, we could talk about, whatever, the state of horror or whatever. And I turned around and I was like, I got to go Christmas shopping and buy all this crap for my kids.
Let's come up with a crazy Christmas wish list.
Let's really trip Santa's balls out.
Just shoot for the stars.
Let's see if he'll just give us what we want. So we're going to share those lists with you. But first, we got to get into some old business. It's not very long today. Old business is actually relatively short. Unless we talk about things. But, 1941. Excuse me. December 11th, 1941. Germany and Italy declare war on the U.S. after the U.S. declares war on Japan after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. So on this date in 1941, it's pretty somber Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's going to stay pretty somber for a long, long time. So just think about that as you're sitting around enjoying the presence of your family that hasn't yet been blown to smithereens by... an enemy shrapnel.
A lot of people don't realize the significance of Pearl Harbor. I think, one, because it was so long ago, and two, because it wasn't on the mainland of the United States. So it didn't hit home as much as some. With 9/11, we had the internet and everything else that really brought it to people's living rooms. But that one was just that Pearl Harbor was pretty horrific.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't realize just the immenseness of it.
Well, it's one of those things. I need to talk to him. I'm getting into some pretty serious territory very, very early on. My grandfather joined the Army when he was 17 in either 1944 or 1945, but early in the year. So prior to the atomic bomb hitting Japan... But towards the end of the war, he was quite young, and I knew he was on. All I knew growing up was that he was in the military during World War II, but he was stationed stateside. He was a prison guard in California. He guarded prisoners in military prison.
Mm-hmm.
What he's revealed in the last couple of years is that he was actually deployed one time. And the stuff he saw while he was deployed was enough that's been haunting him these past 70 years. He was like 18 years old and saw some of the most horrific, just... absolutely mind-bogglingly horrible things that could possibly be seen. And He came home and he didn't talk about it. He didn't talk about it. He got married, had children, became the superintendent of a chemical company, retired very wealthy, and now in his old age, my grandmother's gone, and he just says he feels compelled to talk about it. And so he wrote a story, not a story, he wrote basically a memoir. This right. is what I've seen. And it's about 30 or 40 pages long. And I'm a horror movie buff. I've read scary stories, seen scary movies, I've seen war movies. I've never experienced anything like what was written in those pages mm-hmm. for just sheer horror. And I need to talk to him to see if he'll allow me to publish it,
right.
release it. But the gravity of the situation is that there is a serious darkness that lives in the hearts of men. And if given a little bit of power and a little bit of authority and a little bit of permission, and then sometimes maybe some orders, that darkness manifests into some pretty horrible stuff.
Yeah.
So, luckily, we haven't had a global conflagration in these last 70 years. That's not to say it wouldn't happen again. Mm-hmm. And some of the powers that be seem to be rattling their sabers and trying to make it happen.
Right.
But let's hope that it doesn't. Anyway, moving on, we want to lighten that up. 1972, Apollo 17 becomes the sixth and final that we know of lunar landing, the final moon mission. Excuse me. How can I say the old business if I have a frog in my throat? I need to cough that tadpole up. Have you been watching Stranger Things?
No, I haven't. I haven't started yet. So, because I haven't been able to sit down and really get into it. So,
it's good stuff. 1978. You ever seen Goodfellas?
Yeah.
Goodfellas occurred on this date in 1978. The Lufthansa heist.
Okay.
So all of that stuff in Goodfellas that they were leading up to, mm-hmm. and then at the end when Robert De Niro starts going crazy and killing everybody,
yeah.
that heist happened. And as I clicked the link and I started reading about it, this is where some good old responsibility can do you well. So long story short, because you've seen Goodfellas and it's a long movie.
Yeah.
But what happened was they did the heist. They went in and they stole the money. They grabbed all the stuff and they ran. But whenever they got home and they started looking at what they stole, it was twice as much as they had anticipated having. So they thought they were going for like $1 million and they ended up getting like 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
So that immediately freaked out the Robert De Niro character, the leader. The van that they drove from the airport... The guy who was responsible, he was supposed to like go to the place, drop off the loot, then take the van straight to the junkyard and have it compacted.
Mm-hmm.
What he did instead was smoke some weed and go to his girlfriend's house and then end up getting drunk and doing a bunch of cocaine. The police happened upon the van that happened to be parked illegally in a no parking zone, impounded with cocaine and other drugs inside of it. And as soon as they impounded it, they were like, this is the van that was used in the heist that they stole all that stuff from the airport. So the police were on them like from day one.
Mm-hmm.
In the Goodfellas movie, it makes it seem like he freaked out because people were actually spending the money.
Right.
But in reality, this dude just completely
screwed everything up.
He's the guy who ended up hung up on the meat hook.
Okay.
And that was real. All right. Notable births. John Buscema, the comic book artist.
Okay.
You know of him. He was born in 1927. Really, really big name in comic book art. Mm-hmm. 1947. Remember Mr. Mom?
Yeah.
Terry Garr.
Yes. She was sexy. She was hot.
1953. Do you know the name Bess Armstrong?
It's familiar.
The only reason she's on this list is because she was the main female lead in Jaws 3.
Okay.
You remember Jaws 3?
Yes, of course.
With Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
And Bess Armstrong. There you go. She's the one trying to convince everybody that there's a shark inside of SeaWorld. In 1958, raise your glass, happy birthday to Mr. Nikki Sixx
of nice.
Motley Crue. And whenever Nikki Sixx does end up on the notable deaths, he'll probably have like 3 or 4 dates listed because I think that guy's...
he's been dead and revived a few times.
That dude OD'd and got thrown into a dumpster and woke up from his OD where he was dead and went out and scored some coke and kept on partying. How do you die at a party and then wake up and go buy some more cocaine? But he's done it.
So Nick Swartz says that every time he thinks that he parties hard, he drinks a 12-pack of beer and go watch Behind the Music with Motley Crue, and they're like, Nikki Sixx used to drink heroin from a fire hose.
Yeah, exactly. And his son, he's just blessed. The devil's like, you're not done yet. Can you imagine waking up getting the mouth-to-mouth from the devil? Being like, bro, you're in a dumpster. This is not how you're going out.
Get back and get to it.
Notable deaths on this date in 1880, Oliver Winchester, patriarch of the Winchester Repeating Arms Company. His wife is the one who built the Winchester Mansion out in California. We drove by it. We didn't have a chance to stop.
Is it making a movie about her? Mm-hmm. I saw a trailer for it.
I'm trying to think of what kind of a compelling movie there is of a lady walking around yelling at contractors. But, I guess with some camera angles and some good lighting, you can make that cool.
The hint at it is that her house was set up with a bunch of booby traps and stuff like that.
All right, 1964, soul singer Sam Cooke.
He was one of the great ones.
And on this date in 2008... Betty Page.
Yes.
Into the great burlesque show in the sky. There's a... It's turning into like a... There's a Betty Page dance routine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like 4 minutes long. So imagine like modern strip shows. They walk out. They shake their ass, they throw off their clothes, and then they swing on the pole for a while.
Mm-hmm.
This is Betty Page. She walks out, and she's got like a skirt, and she's got a top. And she's just kind of like slowly kind of like swaying her hips. And over the course of 4 minutes, 4 minutes, she loses the top, which reveals a gigantic bra that's covering most of the top.
One of those torpedo missile bras. Yeah.
And then she loses the skirt, which then like... not to take away from Betty Page, she's sexy, but man, the striptease was a lot longer back then.
Oh yeah. Yes it was.
And at the end of it, she's not in pasties, she's still in like bra and panties.
Bra and panties. You ever say like two words, bra and panties? Bra and panties.
Oh yeah.
Like bra and panties just sounds so much more pervy than underwear.
Yeah. The word panties in general is just
it just sounds creepy.
You were telling the story on the last show about the dude who stole
some
your underwear.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't have any panties for him to steal them.
I don't know if that's a good thing. Maybe that's how you could have repelled him. Anyway, guys, that is it for old business today.
We got a little bit of new business we can get into. You segue us away from talking about underwear and panties and everything else. A nurse in Berlin who is already serving a life sentence for 2 murders at the hospital he worked at may have killed more than 100 patients over several years at two hospitals in Germany. And what has happened so far is they've completed toxicological examinations on patients who died during his time at these hospitals. And so far, 16 cases have come up where he is suspected as having caused these deaths. And he's apparently just angel of death.
Wow.
Going around the hospital. And they're thinking what he was doing is, what he's admitted to someone, is he would poison these people to get them to go into cardiac arrest to try to save them. And every once in a while, he couldn't do it. Yeah. So he was one of those sick bastards who just wanted the notoriety of saving people and was actually only killing them every once in a while.
That's a lot of accidents.
Yeah.
You'd think after your first or second, you're like, I'm not gonna try that again.
Right, but he didn't care. He's just a sick, sick man. Basically, Andy Wilkes, you know, male version, actual realistic male version of him. Okay. A frilled shark, which is considered to be a living fossil because it's existed for the last 80 million years, was recently spotted and pictures were taken of it. This film crew from the BBC was doing some work in the European Union. And there's actually some pictures of this thing, dude. It is badass, man.
Yeah,
I've 80 seen. Million year old shark. Has tons of these crazy rows of teeth. It's just it basically a living fossil actually came to surface, decided to pop up and say hi, and allowed itself to be photographed, which is pretty amazing, man.
Yeah, they've seen a lot of those, not a lot of them, but they see them every now and then. But most of they're either sick or dead.
Right, or real deep. I mean, this was actually high enough to where the light was allowed to for them to film it swimming around and get some cool pictures of it and everything, which is pretty cool.
Love those guys. I love sharks.
Sharks are awesome. Like, does the name Greg Canham mean anything to you?
Sounds familiar, but
Greg Canham is a horror legend who he's won 3 Oscars for. He's been nominated for 7 for some of his mainstream film work in special effects and makeup. Hook, Mrs. Doubtfire, Titanic, Beautiful Mind, and The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Well, he has also worked in our world some really, really heavy-hitting 80s horror movies. He worked on The Howling, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, Lost Boys, Fright Night Part 2, Exorcist Part 3, Alien 3, Hannibal, Van Helsing, and most recently, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Well, he is about to receive the 2018 Makeup Artist and Hairstylist Guild's Lifetime Achievement Awards, which is pretty cool.
That is awesome.
But it's obviously well-deserved. I mean, he's done makeup work on some pretty serious films.
When we did our makeup artists, I guess, the Masters of Horror Hall of Fame, that would have been a really long show if we would have gone to every single one.
Yes.
So we had to like
just pick the best.
Cut it to the best and like leave a few that were maybe not well known names, but were still heavy hitters behind the scenes. That's why when you're like, I was like, I think I remember reading about this guy. Mm-hmm. He was gonna make the list, but we were just gonna run along
so
for
many.
Time.
Right. So congratulations to Greg Canham, the well deserved Lifetime Achievement Award. So
awesome.
He'll be receiving next year. And that's it for new business.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break and hear from one of our sponsors. This sponsor may or may not be from 1983. We don't know. if you decide you want to be one of our sponsors, you know, 15, 20, 30 second slot in between new and old business or between new and old business and the show itself, give me a shout. We'll work out a deal. We can even record you a little promo if you want. That'll cost you more because I only have so much time in a day, but I'm getting pretty good at it. So let me know. We'll see you after this.
Dude, do you want to see something really scary?
It's like when you're sitting at home late at night reading some scary story or something and the dog just hops up and like runs out of the room for no reason.
Definitely a chick under the bed at that point.
So who said it best? Rob Zombie or Samuel L. Jackson?
That's a tough one.
Welcome to Fright Night.
Hey, this is Billy.
And this is Scott.
And this is the Scary Dad Podcast.
Join us as we talk about all things scary.
Imagine, dude, if you were still conscious for a few seconds, knowing your head was no longer attached to your body.
So, have you ever played around with a Ouija board?
You know? No, I haven't. And in like true Poltergeist fashion, it was built on a graveyard.
Oh, man. If it's scary, cool, or something we find just plain interesting, we talk about it.
Every Monday, available on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher Radio, and on our website at scarydad.com.
Groovy.
And we're back. All right, so did you ever write a letter to Santa Claus when you were a kid?
Yeah, a couple of times, if I'm not mistaken.
What, was it a school assignment, or was it your folks?
Just my folks. I never did it through school. I did weird things in school. Do you know what I did in school? I was talking to my daughter about it the other day. When I was in the third grade, I was in the gifted program back in the day. And this is when gifted was like six kids in the whole school. We're like set aside as outcasts in an outbuilding away from everybody.
Nerds!
But for Halloween one year, we had to pick a project. Third grade, mind you. And my project for Halloween was to write a will and testament and have it notarized. And this will and testament actually still sits in the courthouse of my hometown.
Do you still have the stuff that you were willing out?
No. No, I think I've mentioned to you before, one of the, like, the first thing were my Mark and Mindy trading cards.
That goes to my dad.
When I went to my cousin Mark. My dad was the executor of the will. He was set up as the executor. But yeah, they had me write a will and testament at the age of nine.
Yeah, I think when I was a kid, we had to write a eulogy or something. Which, again, kids have no concept of death. Like, what do you want to have people say whenever you're... So all you're thinking is, like, he had lots of He-Man guys. Like, oh,
he liked spaghetti.
Yeah. Like,
so, no, I didn't write...
Merman was his favorite guy because he never dropped his sword. Like, seriously, when I was a kid, that's the kind of stuff that was important. Because all my other He-Man guys, after you'd play with them for a while, the bottom of their hand would get, like...
Loose.
Like, loose. And they dropped their sword, but Merman always held it.
They had a grip.
So, like, that's the sort of thing that would go into my eulogy. Like, I like Merman because he didn't drop his sword.
Yeah, so instead of writing Christmas letters to Santa Claus, I wrote wills.
Wills.
But I do remember writing them through my parents.
So, when I was a kid, I learned how to read very, very young. I learned how to read when I was like 4 years old. And I'm not talking reading Shakespeare, but I'm like, I could read little storybooks and, you know, basic chapter books and stuff. So by the time I was like 6, 7 years old, I could read and I could spell. And it was one thing that my dad was always really kind of a hard ass on, was reading and spelling. And not because he was he had been an English major, but his point was, if you can't spell and you write somebody a letter, they think you're dumb. You don't want people to think you're dumb, and it's not that hard. Just get it right. So anyway, at 6, 7 years old, I could spell words very well, and I could write. My punishment for doing bad things was writing sentences. And some of the stuff that he would do, like, it depended, like, if I was bad, if I lied or something, he'd go, like, look up a Bible verse, like, thou shalt not bear false witness, right? And it wasn't like, it was not like necessarily a Bible lesson, but it was a punishment. He's like, you'll have to write this commandment like 5 times. And so you'd have to write it. And when you're 7, you're like, my hand is aching, I don't want to write it anymore, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But by the end of it, you could damn well spell thou shalt not bear right. false witness. Like, you had these words that just... And he would give me, like, not linguistics, but he'd give me little tricks. Like, I always, when I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to spell people. And it would be P-E-E-P-L-E. Never understood why there was a silent E, but it was... It should be P-E-E-P-E-L is the way people should be spelled. He's like, oh, no. You got the silent E. You can't get away from that. But think of it. Think of it. Piopel. When you read the word, piopel, people. Just little tricks like that. To where now I'm trying to teach my daughter how to do stuff, and I'm using those same little tricks. And stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we lived in a small town. I mentioned it before. I lived in Portland. And kids would write their letters to Santa, and Santa lived at the newspaper, and the newspaper would print the letters to Santa. Well, small town, you knew the names of the kids who wrote the letters. And the newspaper would print them as they were written. And I remember seeing the kid that lived across the street said he wanted a bunch of Cobra stuff, but he spelled it C-O-B-R-U. Which, for a 5 or 6 year old,
it's not bad.
It's correct because the
phonetics.
Phonetics. I was like, you're dead to me. You don't know how to spell Cobra? It's written right there on the box, you dumbass. So anyway, letters to Santa, I was always very particular. Like, I want the Millennium Falcon, you know, like...
Dude, I can tell you my spelling horror story. I was excellent at spelling as a kid. I received a set of encyclopedias when I was 6 from my parents. And I mean, I would read. My vocabulary was really high. In 4th grade, I make it to the district spelling bee, all right? And I'm thinking my shit don't stink. I'm the bomb. I get up first round. I get up, and the word is balloon.
You blanked, didn't you?
And I freaked out and misspelled balloon. Got kicked out. I told my kids that story. They were like, you misspelled balloon? How stupid were you? I'm like, I was in a district spelling bee. I wasn't stupid. I just froze. And for whatever reason, I forgot one of the L's.
Every now and then you'll hit a word. Like, even now, you'll hit a word. And it's funny because it's been a long time, but one word that always tripped me up because I'd be typing an email, the word apparently. I'd always spell it wrong. I would put either too many P's or not enough, or too many R's or not enough. But I'd be like writing an email and I'd be like, writing it to my boss. Hey boss, apparently this slipped by me, and then like it would spell check me, and I'm like, and I fucked it up every single time. And I'm like, how do I not know how to... So I did my... I took my dad's advice. I got a piece of paper and a pencil. And I wrote it down correctly. And then I wrote it 10 times. And I had like my head in my hand. Just like, apparently, 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 apparently. Now I don't have a problem writing it anymore.
Today I'm
taking that used to be my punishment.
I'm getting a deposit ready today, and I'm like, received, and then I stop, and I'm like, okay, I before E, except after, I'm like, damn, I had to scratch it out and start over again.
Wasn't that the Charlie Brown Christmas, where he's like, I before E, except after C?
But there's some verse like that. I remember Patrice O'Neill would say that if somebody had a gun to his mama's head and said, spell restaurant, he would be able to tell his mom, like, Ma, I love you. I'm sorry. Is it restourer? Stew, S-T-S. There's just some words that get people all the time.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, writing letters to Santa, that's what always comes to mind.
It's a spelling lesson.
Santa's got you on the good list, and he sees you spell Cobra with a U at the end, and he's like, Cole, call Krampus.
Yeah, call Krampus. Get Krampus on speed dial for me, please.
That kid did not study. He's on the bad list. So, our letters to Santa, Scott and I are both grown-ups. We both have kids. We both have bills to pay. We got shit that we need. So if I was to write a letter to Santa right now and say, could you please give me something magical, something that I would be like, dear Santa, could you please make this contract work just be done and not have me have to sit there and wait for these fuckers to come through and mess up my house for 4 days over Thanksgiving holiday. Like, could you please just Santa that stuff away? But that's boring. We're not going to talk about that.
We decided to shoot for the stars. Let's go back in the time machine and think about some things that we really, really, really want.
Santa, if you're really real, give Scott what he's about to ask for.
Let's start it off thinking about some pets that we'd like. First on the list is a mogwai, because I think I could adhere by the rules and not screw up.
All you got to do is keep it in a cage.
I know. Keep it in a cage, in the closet. Or like in the back room over there where there's no direct light on it, and you're good to go.
Yeah, well, you could build a little box for a mogwai, because it knows that light will burn it like a vampire.
Yeah.
You just build a little box.
If he gets out of that thing, his ass is screwed.
Yeah, you just keep it in a closed box that's like under a skylight, It's like, you're in here until nighttime.
See, I think, because I actually used to have a dog named Gizmo. I wanted a Mogwai very bad when I was a kid. And the other pet I was thinking of, tell me this isn't, wouldn't be badass, is that golden owl from Clash of the Titans.
That would, can you imagine how easy it would be to pick up the poop?
Not just that. You
get a dustpan and sweep up some gears.
Let me know how traffic is. Let me know how traffic is on 290. And you send it off before you got to leave for work. You'll come back, say, don't take 290. You want to go to Jones Road up to Fallbrook and come across on 1960. You know, how nice would that be to have?
That, yeah. I always remember in the movie, she was so sad. And I was like, they improved that. They had that snowy owl. That thing, like, hawks up mice bones and poops on your shoulder. You turn it into a robot.
It's got to oil it every once in a while. You're good to go.
Yeah.
But how cool would that be to have?
That is a good one. I got to fist bump you across the table. That is bad.
When I was a kid, I wanted one bad, you know, because I was kind of into falconry. I thought falconry was cool, but this was a robot owl.
Yeah. Damn. I have wanted, and will continue to want, the hearse from Monster Squad. To me, you remember one, Monster
Squad?
Yes,
yeah.
We've talked about it a couple times. There are two things out of that movie that I really want, and one of them is not that crystal necklace thing. I want the Stephen King Rules t-shirt in my size, and I want that hearse with the silver skull hood on it that the monster drove around. To me, like, I'm 42 years old. I hang out with all these soccer dads. They all want big trucks with big wheels. I want to cruise through the neighborhood jamming typo negative
in your Monster Squad.
In my Monster Squatters. Santa, bring it. Just drop it on the front porch. Boom.
Well, I got a couple of vehicles on here too, actually. And you know, I'm gonna start with this one first, even though this probably should be the main one that I would want, but DeLorean from Back to the Future. Even if it's just for a week. Just to go ahead and have some fun with it and everything.
But it's Back to the Future, so as long as you have either plutonium, regular gasoline, as long as you've got access to those two things, a week is pretty much forever.
You do whatever you want.
Forever.
That one, the 18 van, I think would be cool to ride around in for a week.
Yeah.
Just dress up like B.A. Baracus, put some gold chains on, and just have fun with it.
And drive around with your milk.
And lastly, you know, and the thing about it is, when I first saw this movie, this was the most amazing car in the world. I've seen the movie, like, since then, and the car's actually not that nice, but it's just something from my childhood, because it had the stupidest thing. It had an air induction hood that took air from both sides. You don't get air from the windshield, but it was opened up to both sides to take air in. But the Corvette from Corvette Summer with Mark Hamill.
That's a good one.
When I was a kid, that Corvette was the shit. But the same thing with Kit from Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Kit's not as nice as we remember it. I've watched Knight Rider since then. It didn't have ground effects. It was raised up too high. It was a really crappy looking car.
And it also,
but at the time, it was the shit.
It also had... I really did love Kit, and I love Knight Rider.
Oh, yeah.
I love the little swoopy thing on the front.
Mm-hmm.
And the little LED thing in the, which was LCD.
Like the equalizer that when his voice was
going off. Yeah, the voice modulator. But, I mean, come on, dude. If you're going to be driving a badass car as fast as you can with a leather jacket on and the Hasselhoff hair, do you really want a bitchy British butler telling you how things are going? I mean, Iron Man, in the Iron Man movies, it's just kind of like Knight Rider 5.0.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the bitchy British butler telling him how things are going to be. Well, I don't have enough power. He's like, well, I'm going to hit power anyway. As one with Knight Rider and Iron Man both, like Iron Man, you know, like Tony Stark is just the way he is, his megalomania, his kind of just. But if you built the suit with a AI inside that's telling you what it's able to handle, and you're like 4 miles in the air and it's telling you it's running out of power, it's time to listen. It's kind of like, it's like the fuel gauge on a car. Mm-hmm. You're driving the car, the fuel's on empty and it's bouncing. Now imagine if you had AI that's like, dude, I'm really on fumes right now.
And you're like, as soon as possible,
I'm not going to listen to you. I'm just going to hammer down on this gas. And same thing with Knight Rider. He's like, Michael, we can't handle this. He's like, I'm going to hit the button anyway. It's like he always survived, but he shouldn't have. He should have just listened to that little thing that they built into the car for that specific reason.
Right. Save his ass. They were just showing a scene where they beat up the mimes. You remember that scene?
Yeah, I haven't seen Shakes the Clown since, I don't think since it came out.
But for those wondering, as always, we have movies playing in the background. Tonight we got Shakes the Clown playing. But it's the part where they're riding around getting drunk and they see the mimes. And they decide to stop and beat the shit out of the mimes. And Adam Sandler, he hollers out, "You silent motherfuckers!" And he just commenced to wailing on top of the mimes. It's hilarious, man. But for whatever reason, they can't stand mimes.
I miss Bobcat Goldthwait.
Dude, his last stand-up show was pretty funny. You know, he's not doing the Bobcat voice. He's just being himself. Old Bobcat Goldthwait, telling stories about, you know, when he was coming up. It's awesome, dude. It is pretty funny. Because he talks about when he was out promoting this movie, he set the Tonight Show on fire. He set the backstage and he got arrested for it. He said he's still on he was on probation for it for a while, for setting the Tonight Show on fire.
Rick, he was talking about it. He's like, oh man, he's got some great videos where he's like, I lost my job. Well, I didn't really lose it. I just went there and there was somebody else doing it. He's like, and I lost my wife. I didn't really lose her. I just went home and there was somebody else doing it. Okay, so you wanted, not, you said Kit?
Or no, said, Corvette from Corvette Summer.
Then the 18 van and then
yes.
Kit.
Yes, and no, then the DeLorean from Back to the okay. Future.
I want Pee Wee Herman's bike.
Nice, I got a little one right there.
I want I want his bike from Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Legit, like, straight up the bike. That, like, again, I like my neighbors. I love my neighbors. We drink. We have a good time. I don't have anything against my neighbors. But the thing is, I don't really care what they think about me. My wife does. She'll listen to this and be like, well, like, hey, man, my yard, you've been to my house. My yard is good. Like, everything's clipped. Everything's nice.
Nothing to complain about.
But I would love to be like, guys, let's go for a ride. Then I'd hit that button with the, like, dun 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 dun, like whenever he opens his garage.
Yeah.
And it's like got the different, like, light angles on the different parts of it.
Hi. Yeah. Good morning.
He's got the little, he brushes the teeth on the line.
Yeah. Brush, brush, brush.
I would love that. I would, that would be so awesome to just cruise down the street on that bike.
That movie is so great. My kids were saying the other day they need to watch that one in Big Top Pee Wee because they haven't seen them in a while. But, you know, what's weird is the editing on Pee Wee's Big Adventure was actually horrible.
It was weird. But it was in, like, kind of, like, that's back in the day independent film that just kind of was what it was.
Because, like, there's a scene where he's taking the chain out.
Yeah, to you see
the
bicycle, it coming.
You can see the chain coming from the bottom of the bicycle. Yeah. You can see where they're feeding it through into the thing. But great movie, man. That bike is badass.
I remember when Pee Wee's Big Adventure first came out. I watched it at a friend's house, and I was young, but I was still a kid, but I was old enough to realize, like, the difference, I guess, between, like, movie scary and actually scary, I guess. Hard to explain. Like, in your head, whenever you go into, like, a Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that you're watching a horror movie and the story goes through, and so then you are scared by either concepts or actions, okay? And however it scares you is the effectiveness of either the narrative, the storytelling, the visual effects, or both. Pee-wee's Big Adventure was not supposed to be a scary movie, but it had parts of it.
Dark side to it.
Well, it had parts of it that were scary, like Large Marge.
Yeah.
And whenever he's like, he goes out and his bike's stolen.
He's having the nightmare with the clowns.
Well, yeah. Well, when his bike's stolen and that clown's got the And I remember just being like, Jesus, this has got some. Again, the unnecessarily scary 80s. Like, it's a throwaway scare, but it's an effective scare nonetheless. That you're worried about Pee-wee and his bike getting stolen, and you look up at that clown, and it's like, oh my god, what the hell just happened? It's a testament to Tim Burton, his strange editing, but he had some effective scares in the movie.
Yeah.
Large Marge
was great.
She's just all deadpan, and then she's like, you're like, God, why would you do that? And that's stop motion animation, which means they did that shit frame by frame. Many, many, many people spent days, microsecond by microsecond, for the specific purpose of making a whole bunch of kids shit their pants. Like, why would you do that? Ostensibly a kids movie. But then you watch was it Nice Dreams or the one that Pee-wee's
in? He's in a few of them.
He's doing cocaine under the table. You're like, oh, no, now that I'm grown, that wasn't a kids movie. That was an adult movie posing as a kids movie. Now I get it. But as a kid, you're like, why would you do that? Why?
Paul Rubens. Shout out to Paul Rubens. He's the shit, man. I've just always been a huge fan. He took that unnecessary heat to his career for that bullshit arrest that he had.
Yes.
And my kids were raised with Pee-wee's Playhouse, even though it had been, you know, almost two decades since it had come out. I still bought the box set for my kids so they could watch it and appreciate it.
Yeah. You got the Pee-wee Herman doll.
I've got the Pee-wee Herman doll.
Like, I've got Pee-wee Herman stuff everywhere. Like I said, my mega Santa Christmas list, thing Pee-wee's number two bike. I want Pee-wee's bike. I would like his breakfast cooking machine as well. That would be pretty badass. All right, what's next on your list?
Okay. Originally, this was under pets, but I revised it a little bit. Because originally it was going to be a dinosaur from Jurassic Park. But then I started thinking, those aren't easy to control.
Those poop a lot.
So then I said, how about Grimlock? Dinobot Grimlock.
That would be awesome.
How cool would that be, dude? Ride around on him. You got to go to the corner store, jump on Grimlock's back. Traffic gets bad, just burn everybody up. Like the car is out the way. Grimlock would be pretty cool to have. Because you got a T-Rex that you can control.
Did it ever bother you? Like, they were historically correct that the Dinobots are stupid because of the small brains. But even as a 7-year-old, I was like, you could just put in a bigger chip.
Well, no, the thing about it is, their brains are small. A car doesn't even have one.
Right.
So what difference does it make? But yes, the Transformer would be cool to have, but I just think Grimlock, just to have a T-Rex would be pretty badass.
Well, since you mentioned Grimlock, you know what? There was always rumors, and they were always untrue. I want a Soundwave that plays cassettes.
Yeah, I always wanted one.
I want a G1 Soundwave that plays micro cassettes. The way that the rumors always said.
I used to pretend mine did.
Well, pretending, like, of course, dude, how cool would it be to have a G1 Soundwave that actually played the cassettes? You could put in your, Phil Collins micro cassette and he'd, like, play it. That would be awesome.
Oh yeah.
Even if you could have it like somehow digitally placed onto a laser beak cassette, throw it in there and push play, that would be awesome.
That would make the toy perfect.
Santa, you brought me Soundwave once and I thanked you profusely. Bring it to me again, but just this time, make him functional.
And we're talking about sound wave. I'm talking about blaster.
Not blaster.
Sound wave was the shit. Blaster, sound wave was the original and the one.
Right. Just
make him work.
His decals can even be crooked. I don't even care. His joints can be loose. But just let me push that button and have it work. That would be awesome.
You walking around with a tape player and headphones, man. That'd be sweet. So what else you got?
I want a copy of the handbook for the recently deceased.
That would be cool. But you want to get it like from somebody else, not because you died.
Well, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I want. Well,
it could be like Wishmaster.
No, Lydia read it.
Yeah.
Lydia read it. She was in debt.
But to receive a copy, though, you got to find one and steal it.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, you don't want like a Wishmaster type thing where, you know, the guy said that he'd love to have some tits. So Wishmaster said, "Your wish is granted." And he had them on his body instead of a person there. So, you know, and I wish I had a handbook for the recently deceased. Kid. Fine, you recently deceased. Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, I want to have my personal copy like Lydia has hers. Where she went up in the attic and she found it and she's like, "Wow, what is this?" And she's looking at the chalk door that's drawn on the inside of the attic in Beetlejuice. Because Adam was saying it reads like stereo instructions. She's read it and later on...
Otho got a hold of it.
Well, Otho got it. He could read it too. But Barbara was like, you can read it and you understand it, because Adam had a hard time. If you notice, there's a little couple Easter eggs in Beetlejuice where he's not a very good reader. Like, he reads a couple of things, and, like, when he's reading the newspaper about Beetlejuice, and Barbara comes over his shoulder, and it's like, you're doing it wrong. Like, he's dyslexic or something.
Okay.
So he couldn't read the handbook for the recently deceased, but Lydia could read it just fine. Mm-hmm. That would be interesting to see.
To get a hold of course. See, I got a couple of little collectibles like that, too, but I started thinking, these are things that would get me in a lot of trouble. And one thing I was thinking was, it would be, how cool would it be to actually have the puzzle box from Hellraiser?
See,
but then you'd get in trouble. You couldn't touch it. Mm-mm. That's the thing. You try to get somebody else to touch it that you might not like, but you don't want to touch it.
I'd like to have it and then have it put into a box like the Ark of the Covenant in Indiana Jones.
Seal it in acrylic.
Because I know what it's like being a... Well, let's not mince words. I have guns that are full-on safety. They don't have any bullets anywhere near them. They're locked in a safe. That safe is locked. The door behind the safe, like, it's all locked. It's locked, 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 locked. And my wife's like, we have children in the house. Are those guns safe? I'm like, dude, I can't lock them more than they're locked. So, yeah, having a puzzle box that opens up hell is not something I want around.
And then a copy of the Necronomicon.
Yeah, well.
That's another one you may get in trouble with. It'd be cool to have and see, you know?
I've actually owned a copy of the
Necronomicon. I used to have a paperback copy of the Necronomicon back in high school.
Everybody does. That and the Anarchist Cookbook.
Yes, I had the Anarchist Cookbook. First year of college, I got a copy of that one.
Try to download that now, you'll go to jail.
Oh, yeah.
You used to be able to buy it at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, well, it wasn't Barnes & Noble. It was another bookstore we had.
B. Dalton.
Home. B. Dalton. That's where we picked it up at.
Whenever you're buying it, the people checking you out would be like so uninterested. They'd be like, Superman comic book, Batman comic book, Fantastic Four comic book, Necronomicon, Anarchist Cookbook.
And when you bought the Anarchist Cookbook, you're like so nervous that somebody would say something, but they didn't give a shit. No, but
they taught you how to make nail bombs in that bitch.
Napalm, all kinds of shit, man. Yeah, so those would be a couple of cool collectibles.
I'll write that on my list. I want a first edition copy of the Anarchist Cookbook. See, politically, I actually am an anarchist. Not to go too long and too deep into it, Republican politics are stupid. Democrat politics are stupid. Socialism is the worst idea anybody's ever had. All other political idealisms basically raise some people above others. But the some people who get raised above others are always sociopaths and idiots. The whole concept of government is immoral and needs to be banished to the just to hell. It needs to go away. There are caveats, there are what ifs, and I understand that, and we're not going to talk about that now. But if you're like, what's your political affiliation? I'm going to flash up that punk rock A, anarchist. It shuts a lot of people down. They're like, oh, you don't want to talk about Donald Trump? I'm like, let me tell you about how taxation is theft and government is immoral. They're like, oh. So, therefore, the Anarchist Cookbook would probably give me some good recipes for growing some fucking vegetables in your front yard, even though the city says you can't. I'm an anarchist. I'll do it anyway. Joking, not joking. I'm not joking. Anyway, move on. What's your next?
Okay, my next one. Well, no, you're up.
I just said handbook, didn't I?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you did. I'm sorry. Okay, this is the last one I have, but it's a fairly long one. But are you familiar with the Royal Rumble on WWE?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know how it's like 30-man match, but they start off with two people, and then like every minute and a half, 2 minutes, they add another person. It just keeps going until you get to the final one. I want to have a ringside seat for the horror villain Royal Rumble. So just imagine this, okay? You start off, do the lottery, so everybody picks where they're coming in. So you start off, you got Freddie and Mike Myers fighting. They're going at it in the ring. All of a sudden, the theme music comes on. Pinhead comes floating down the aisle. All right, so you got Pinhead coming in. He goes, and he just starts stomping people and shit. Hooks fly out. And the next thing you know, you hear the theme music from Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice comes sautéing sauntering down the aisle. Could you imagine how awesome that Royal Rumble would be?
That'd be good stuff.
Just especially have a ringside seat for it, man.
If they knew their shit. When Beetlejuice, I've seen The Exorcist 167 times. So then as soon as Reagan shows up, he's like, laughs his ass off.
So yeah, you got Beetlejuice, you got Jason, you got Candyman, you got Predator. You got a xenomorph might show up. You got Sam from Trick or Treat. I mean, just think about it. Every time, you don't know who's coming out next, but the theme music. Imagine the pop of the crowd just freaking out whenever Eric Draven from The Crow decides to show up. You know, it would be so cool. It would just be the perfect Royal Rumble. And then you get into some of the classic famous monsters of Filmland. Frankenstein shows up. The right. Mummy shows up. That would just be badass, dude. And see who ends up being the final one at the end. Because you got to realize, you know, you have a situation where Beetlejuice comes up and Pinhead's preoccupied. Even though Pinhead's the baddest, all you got to do is throw him over the top rope. You know, so all he has to do is come down with his, you know, all of a sudden one of those strength testers from the carnival pops up behind Pinhead. He doesn't notice it. Beetlejuice comes down with his hammer and knocks him out over the top rope. And that's a wrap. He can't get back in.
That would be actually really cool.
No shit. Chucky shows up. He's little. You can't really get to him. But he can't pick anybody up either, so.
Yeah. Have you seen, there's a couple of videos. They've done like maybe three of them. And it's all these scenes from movies cut together. And it is very well done. It's very well cut. And it's got a lot of CGI. But it's all independently done. But it's basically a Studio 54, and they're playing.
Is it Hell's Club?
Hell's Club.
I've seen both of them. You see, they have two of them. Yeah, those are badass,
like,
dude.
Like Obi-Wan and Anakin are there, yes. And it's like everybody.
Pin is there laughing. RoboCop keeps showing up. Blade keeps jumping in and out of windows.
Yeah. It's like everybody's at Hell's Club.
It's awesome, dude.
The music's just playing, well, and like everybody's moving in time to the music.
I love those videos, man.
It's so good.
But yeah, similar situation. It would be similar to the Royal Rumble thing. But I think that would be badass. That would be an awesome gift.
Well, my final one it's not really, it's not supernatural, and it's not tremendously cool. I want Snake Mountain. But I don't want vintage Snake Mountain. I want Snake Mountain from 1983, brand new in a box. Because I had, like, everything else, and that's that one thing that I didn't get for Christmas when I wanted it. And let me start by saying that I got whatever the hell I wanted. I was not an underprivileged child at all. But Snake Mountain just slipped through the cracks. My dad didn't like the whole voice changing thing. He's like, oh, that's no way. He's like, you got enough of those toys. And no, I'm not blaming Dad. He very much was like, what do you want for... So instead of Snake Mountain, I think I got like the Terror Drone from Cobra.
Okay.
So it wasn't like...
Which is a significant gift, too.
Of course. Like, no. Like, I'm not certainly be like, just fucking throwing my dad under the bus being like, no, you can't have it, so you have some beans and corn and shut up. No, he was like, we already got you this other thing that's something else that's cooler. But yeah, Snake Mountain's that one thing for Christmas that I was kind of wanted and I never really got. And right. Other kids got it, and I was like, that's awesome.
But see, I told you the Godzilla that I've been wanting that my dad gave me before he died. I found one. I'm going to get it at Trader's Village.
But it's the Godzilla with the shoots off the arm.
Yeah, and it has a little tongue that comes out.
I had that too.
That was the last present my dad gave me before he died. And I found three of them at a shop in Trader's Village. This guy has three of them. Two of them don't have the tab for the tongue in the back. One of them is complete. But he wants a lot for him, so that's why I've been waiting to buy it. But I was watching the toy the other day. This toy came out in 1984, if I'm not mistaken. And I was actually thinking, because there's a part where he's in the toy department. If I had the DeLorean, I would go back and I would just buy
clean out
so much
everything.
Shit and put them in a storage building and prepay it for like 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'll open everything up later. I'll open the storage unit up and go ahead and just sell all this shit. But yeah, I would rack up, dude. And I'm not open anything, everything in pristine condition, and just put it in the storage unit and just let it sit.
See, and we've had those conversations. Like, I played with my guys, and I wouldn't take back a moment of it.
I never thought about leaving anything in a box.
Of course not.
And I never thought about opening the boxes up neatly. Just rip everything open and get it out, man.
Yeah. Snake Mountain was the one thing, like I said, if I could... Not even go back in time. Just like, I would like to have gotten that. Dude, I was spoiled as fuck. I had so much shit. Like, I remember being a kid, and I don't remember how old I might have been. But we went to the store, and Rambo stuff had just come out. And this is how spoiled I was. My mom's like, well, what about the Rambo stuff? And I was like, It's okay. She's like, you love Rambo. I was like, well, yeah, but... I was like, there's that guy and that guy and that... Like, all these guys and the battle sets. Like, and I was a little bit older. Like, I wouldn't think that you wanted me to get into a whole other series. She's like, oh, don't worry about that. And that Christmas, dude, I got everything. The thing was, the Rambo set was a bitch because it was all Vietnamese... bamboo.
Yeah.
So everything looked like a ladder. You had to clip it together just right, and it was like this tower and this little battle thing. So I had the play set for Rambo, put it all together, and it was weird because I didn't really care about the play set. But the cool thing was it came with these boxes full of AK-47s. It had like several boxes of AKs. That was awesome. I was like, dude, I've got guns for weeks. Like, like everybody gets an AK. It was like Oprah. But yeah, that's the end of my Dear Santa. Bring me Snake Mountain, the Anarchist Cookbook, the Handbook for Recently Deceased, Pee Wee Herman's Bike, and the Monster Squad Hearse.
Don't even need to wrap them up.
Nope.
Just leave. Drop them all.
Just throw all the other shit in the back of the hearse. Well, guys, it's December 11th, so you still got 2 weeks left.
Still got some shopping time, online or physically.
But that's going to do it for our Letters to Santa, episode 61 of the Scary Dad Podcast. You guys, stay scary.
Later.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind you. He won't have to use our dirty chimney flue. Just bring him through the front door, that's the easy thing to do. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy and what surprise when I open up my eyes to see a hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. And hippopotamuses like me too. Mom says a hippo would eat me up, but then teacher says a hippo is a vegetarian. Lots of room for him in our two-car garage. I'd feed him there and wash him there and give him his massage. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy and what surprise when I open up my eyes to see a hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles or rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses. And hippopotamuses like me too.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind you. He won't have to use his dirty chimney flue. Just bring him through the front door, that's the easy thing to do. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy and what surprise when I